Our guest, David Sirota. I'm Bob McChesney. This is Media Matters. David Sirota, you have been, I think, quite critical of President Obama. And that's gotten you in hot water sometimes with some people who say liberals need to always batten down the hatches and defend President Obama. Why have you been such a critic of the Obama administration?
Well, I've been a critic of the Obama administration because I'm somebody who, I guess, is old-fashioned in the sense that I remember what was promised on the campaign trail and what was done, what he's done as president. And he made a series of very crystal clear promises that he wouldn't do certain things and he would do other things, and he, in many cases, hasn't done either of those things. He's a person who, and the list is long, I mean, he's a person who's talked about restoring a respect for civil liberties. He's criticized the Bush administration for its trampling of privacy, its torture regime, et cetera, and he has been somebody who has more aggressively expanded the surveillance state. Now we have a president asserting the right to execute American citizens without an indictment. He's a president who said he would never sign on to the Bush tax cuts, who has done that. He's somebody who said that he would renegotiate NAFTA and has not only not done that, but has pushed a series of NAFTA-style trade deals with other countries to expand that failed regime, which is a job-killing set of job-killing ideas. So, and the list goes on. And I know the argument is, well, he had a difficult time with the Congress. And there's two points on that. First, he had 60 votes in the United States Senate and a Democratic Congress. In other words, he had one of the biggest Democratic majorities in the country's history. So the whole idea that he couldn't do anything because he didn't have a Congress that would work with him is just preposterous on its face. The other thing I would say is that in many cases he didn't try to do what he promised. It's one thing to try and fail, but this is a president who on many issues has not only not tried but has joined the other side. When you think about the health care debate as one example, this is a person who promised to push a health care reform that would include some sort of public option, that is a government-sponsored public option for people as an alternative to private insurance. He's a person who made sure that that was removed from the final health care bill. And there are other examples like this. So my ultimate problem with President Obama is that I think he's an extremely cynical politician who is relying on the fact that voters don't remember what he promised and relying on the fact that voters won't know what he's actually done with his power. And he talks a good game, and he thinks that people won't check his rhetoric with what he's actually done.
Are you going to vote for him?
I want to see where the rest of this campaign goes. I've reached a point in my life where I've started to wonder whether voting for the lesser of two evils isn't unto itself endorsing a system that only produces lesser of two evils.
You know, and this gets to the point, David, that a lot of people have been talking about, which is the way in the lesser of two evils system, what's been developing, and maybe not because of the lesser of two evils, but in our two-party system, the whole terrain of debate keeps moving further and further to the right. Whichever party is aggressive to the right sort of drags everyone along with it, so that, you know, we're debating things like the public education, Social Security, Medicare, progressive taxation, things that for generations were taken for granted as a sort of innately signs of American progress are now being, they're on the chopping block. And, you know, it just seems, and the reason I raise this question is that it's not clear to me that the American people have become a much more rabidly right-wing people, but our political culture would suggest they have.
Yeah, it's a bizarre situation. And I think one way for people to understand how bizarre it is to remember what's gone on in the last 4 years. So Wall Street essentially engineered a scam on a grand scheme when it came to housing and lending, which ultimately cratered the economy. And then Wall Street was given a massive taxpayer bailout, and at the end of that process, you have, after Wall Street cratered the economy and was then bailed out, we're having a debate about how much we should cut Medicare and how much we should cut Social Security and why public employees are supposedly the Antichrist. It's completely bizarre. How do you go from Wall Street destroying the economy to we need to destroy Medicare and Social Security and demonize teachers and firefighters and public employees? It makes no sense, but it makes sense if you understand that the political debate that we have around crises is now so rigged, is now so, I think, it's so tilted at the fundamental linguistic level because the people who frame those debates, politicians, for instance, media corporations, they have a vested interest in diverting our attention from real problems, because if we focus on real problems, the real issues at hand in our country that we need to, that means questioning things like corporate power and the concentration of wealth, which, again, the folks who control our politics don't want us to discuss. The last 10, 12 years were just found to be the worst decade on record in terms of economic growth in the country's contemporary history. And the key, the biggest economic policy that we saw change from the previous era were the Bush tax cuts and tax cuts on dividends, high income, targeted high income tax cuts. And it's completely bizarre that we would look back on the last 10 years and say, hey, let's do more of what we did in the last 10 years when the economic record shows that it didn't work for most people. Now, again, I go back to my point. Then why is that the proposal? And why did President Obama, for instance, sign on to extending the Bush tax cuts when he did? That's because while things haven't been good for most of us, they've been good for the people who hold disproportionate political power in this country.